Welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for a Y-O-U. Come on in, y'all.
All right. Well, we trust that you're having a great day today on this, what day is this, Lady Kim? This is the sixth day of May. I tell you, I thought it was still April, but it's May, and we praise God for each of you. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal and that it's coming through for you as we prepare for this time together tonight. For truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we praise God for his keeping power and for him sustaining us in the midst of everything that we've gone through and what we're going through. And here it is, what we will go through. And so we're encouraged today that God is yet sustaining us in the midst of everything. And so we give him praise. He's just that kind of God. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Yes, he is.
And so we bless his name tonight. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight and that you can hear us and that the sound is coming through as we prepare for tonight's study. We're going to be in the 20th chapter of Leviticus. Very interesting chapter. There are about 27 verses there or so. But we're going to look at that for tonight. And then we're going to do some reflection in terms of the powerful time that happened in the worship experience on yesterday. All right. Well, let's prepare for this night. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for another opportunity together as believers and to stand around your word and to hear what the Spirit of the true and living God is saying to us. You said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church. And so, God, we love you today, and we honor you, and we bless your name. We pray the Lord that our faith will increase as a result of this time together. And so now, God, we pray for each person who will hear and participate and be a part of this virtual study. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we bless your name even now. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Somebody
amen.
Give God a thumbs up or let us amen. Know that I see someone has indicated they're getting a clear signal tonight, Lady Kim, and that the sound is coming through. Mm-hmm. But we thank God for each of you tonight. And I tell you, we were out of town on yesterday, and we were watching the service from afar, all the way from Los Angeles, California, with two different time zones. We are 2 hours behind Memphis, is that right?
That's right.
And so we had an opportunity to view most of the service on yesterday as we were traveling to worship. But what a time, what a time, what a time. I know, Lady Kim, that often it's much different from what you view when you're watching the service virtually than it is being in the house.
That's right.
There's something significant about being in the house and allowing the Spirit of God to just saturate your spirit as you hear what the word is, what the message is, and then participate in the worship experience. I tell you, our administrative assistant, our administrative secretary, our administrative pastor. I'm saying a whole lot right through there, Anna. She did a phenomenal job on yesterday as she shared, come out from among them.
Come out from among them.
And so mm-hmm. our hearts are still burning, Dr. Qualise, from that message on yesterday. And we are certainly grateful for how God used you to share that word with the people of God. And then I tell you, we could feel the presence of God,
yes, Lord.
Even though we were not in the sanctuary, and we knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was a powerful and rich experience. And so I think part of what we see in that particular passage of scripture that she used, I think she went back and forth with several scriptures, but she 2 Corinthians was one of them. And then there was another scripture that she used as well to kind of help establish her base for understanding and for getting her message out. But here it is. The key is that She talked about how important it is for those who have been caught up in various kinds of things and living a life that's not pleasing to God, that they have to check themselves.
All right.
And understand the importance of not trying to mix and mingle with that which God has not called them to do.
Amen.
And many times I think we get so caught up in the things of the world till it's hard to distinguish the true believer from the one who is, not fully committed to the cause of Christ.
Amen. And God has called us into true holiness.
That's right. That's right.
And holiness and hellishness cannot exist together.
Wow.
I don't think she said that, but
it's similar to that, right?
Yes, yes.
And so, Dr. Qualis, we praise God for you and for that word on yesterday. We know that it was a rich word and that the Spirit of God began to move in a powerful illustration at the end of the sermon.
Amen.
To
it was.
Just show what it's like to come out of, being so stuffy and so stale until you can't really relate and be relatable to people. And we have to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's right.
And so many times we become restricted by, what we have on, mm-hmm. that we have to remove some of the things in order for us to be effective. The Bible says, lay aside
every weight
and the sin that does so easily beset us and run this race with patience. Looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Isn't that what the word says?
That's what the word says.
So what were some of the points that you had a chance to glean from? I know we were not in a position to take many notes, but everything was happening so fast.
I know, right?
And the Spirit was moving rapidly. And we have the points, but tell us a little bit about what God was saying to you as we were going forth. And listening to this powerful word on yesterday.
Well, she talked about God's unrestricted love.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus had withheld his love from us, what would we have done?
Okay.
God is love. And everything that God does is because he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And if God had withheld his love from us, where would we be?
That's
Amen.
Right.
We would be on
lost.
Our way to hell.
That's right. We'd be lost on our way to hell.
Yes. But God's grace and forgiveness and love is what he gives to us freely.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's unrestricted love will never leave us.
Wow.
So, and then she also talked about don't be mismatched with unbelievers.
Right,
I think that's what that scripture in 2 Corinthians talks about. Don't be unequally yoked.
Uh-huh. Separate yourself.
Yes. So I think, one of those...
Verses.
Yeah, the verses talks about don't be... that's verse number 14. Don't mm-hmm. be mismatched with unbelievers
right.
for... What partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship is there between light and darkness?
Mm-hmm.
That light and darkness don't agree.
That's right.
Lawlessness and righteousness don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
One is as far as from the east is from the west. And so we should not associate ourselves, or we need to disassociate ourselves
okay.
from those who are... unlike or not like-minded.
Okay, okay.
So we have to make sure that, when we come in out of darkness into God's marvelous light, that we should seek the light more than the darkness. Because
that's
the
good.
More that we seek light, the dark, the less darkness will be... I'm trying to get it fixed in my mind how I can say it right. The more we walk towards God's light, the smaller the lens is for darkness.
Okay.
Do you get
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
good. When you go through a tunnel,
mm-hmm.
The more you go into the tunnel, the darker it gets.
Mm-hmm.
But as you begin to come out on the other side, as the light gets brighter, the darkness gets dimmer.
Okay, okay.
And so,
that's good.
Darkness cannot dwell where light is.
That's right. And I think that was one of the things that she emphasized on yesterday.
Yes.
And how important it is for us to come out from among them. And it puts us in a place of being uncomfortable when we are seeking that light.
Right.
It puts us in a position of really striving. If we're striving toward that which God has required of us, that's just a burden when we go through an old situation and try to readapt, try to go back to the club and you don't know the steps, try to go back, you know, and reconnect and you don't know what's happening, you know, and people will look at you. And, you know, I remember when I was in college, somebody told me, you look like you're out of place, you know. Mm. And so I think it's a thing that happens on the inside of us that the Spirit will alert us that we're out of place because we're striving to be like God.
And when you strive to be like God, when you come out from among them,
that's right.
People can tell a difference.
That's
in
right.
You.
That's right.
People can see something in you that they didn't see before.
Right.
People can see the God in you even without you saying that you're a believer.
That's right.
So, I mean, will we come out from among them? I thought about that little saying when we played hide and seek. They used to say, come out, wherever you are.
My.
You know, they would be looking for you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how the enemy does. The enemy seeks to destroy. He seeks to
sabotage.
He seeks to stalk those who are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? When we come out from among those who are in the darkness, then God's light begins to shine.
That's good. That's good. So yes, we were definitely excited and propelled by that word on yesterday. And I think it says a lot to us as believers in terms of the reminders of how we need to examine our own lives and ensure that our faith is not just lip service.
That's right.
But that we are, we show forth the evidence of a changed life by being not conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so it calls for a shedding of that which is old in order for us to move forward in that which is new.
Amen.
If any man be in Christ, what does it say? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Isn't that what it says?
That's what it says.
Why are you looking at my ring like that? Okay, all right, I see what you're doing. Now, I'm not trying to do that, but it just happened like that. But we have to strive to be genuine in our faith. I think that's part of what this whole message about come out from among them. And so the enemy wants to keep pulling us back, keep pulling us in, keep keeping us trying to quench the Spirit of God so that we won't let our light so shine in such a way that others might be able to see God moving and working in our lives. Isn't that right, Lady
Kim? That's right. That's right.
And so a powerful word. We praise God for how the Spirit of God moved on yesterday. And I tell you, even the Lord added to the church yesterday.
Did.
And we're so excited that the word continues to capture people where they are. And if you allow it, you know, we have a role to play in all of this as well. If we allow God to do what he said he would do, then the evidence will be in a life that's lived in faith and obedience and surrender to him.
Amen.
We have to surrender ourselves in such a way that the enemy will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are God's and that he has no power. But many times he tries to convince us that what we think is the real thing is a fake or
a counterfeit. Yes.
But we know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think.
That's right.
And so we have to strive toward that which pleases him. And as a result, our light gets brighter.
Yes, it does.
And it reflects the goodness and the grace of God and the mercy of God. And so we got to take off some things. We got to lay aside some stuff. And so we praise God for that word on yesterday. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody
amen.
Give God a thumbs up. We've talked to Dr. Qualis a couple of times. We're in the process of making our way back to the city. Lady Kim has on her A-top shirt.
Can you
we've
see
been
it?
Out. Yeah. And there it is. And we've been out today moving around, making some visits, and had an opportunity to be with the Abundant Life Christian Church on yesterday. And I tell you, we had a great time in worship. And then, of course, visiting with our good friend and brother, Dr. John Tonstall, and his wife, his ex-wife, well, his former wife, as she celebrated her birthday. And then we also had a chance to go and spend quality time with Bishop T. Garrett Benjamin and his lovely wife, Beverly Benjamin, all the way out in Palm Desert, California.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful sight to behold in the desert. And I tell you, God is yet at work. And that's a place that I tell you, it's just so much of scenery and so much attraction that really helps you connect with the awesomeness of God.
Awesomeness of God.
God is an awesome God.
Yes.
Isn't he?
Yes,
you look
is.
At those mountains and you
mountains
see.
Mountains and it's warm outside.
Yeah.
It was 84 degrees and you look up on the top of the mountain and there was snow on top of the mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, I was able to just, reflect in my mind about that song, How Great Thou Art. How
yeah.
Great Thou Art.
That's it.
You know. Mm.
Is that Minister Olu on the
yes.
line? You know. It was a blessing to us as we landed here in Los Angeles, and we were at the airport getting ready to get a hotel. I mean, not the hotel, but the rental car at Hertz rental car. And the gentleman that was behind the counter, I believe he was from Nigeria.
He was. Mm-hmm.
And so we began to talk and share, and I told him about Minister Olu. And Minister Olu, he described the place where you were from.
Based
on your last name. Mm-hmm. And he told us in terms of what your last name was, where you lived. And he even told us how far that was from where he lived.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so we were just having a general conversation. He has a distinct accent that really let us know. And he was happy to know that that we knew Minister Olu, and so he did us an extreme favor. Favor showed up right
hey,
there at the counter
of
the Hertz rental car, and so we were blessed by that, and we praise God for that kind of connection. Isn't that right, Lady
amen,
Kim?
Amen.
And so it was an exciting time. We're still here in Los Angeles and getting ready to press our way on tomorrow, and we continue to solicit your prayers. But once again, thank each of you, and thank Dr. Qualis Simo. Can somebody just give God a praise, a hand clap of praise, a thumbs up, or an expression of gratitude and appreciation for her standing tall? Everybody was in place, and we're so grateful for the leadership and for everyone just doing what's need to be done as we continue to move forth in ministry. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What did she say?
Jump into the Cadillac and put some miles on it. What Cadillac?
What Cadillac?
The Cadillac?
Who's
oh,
Cadillac?
Maybe she's talking about the rental car.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a Cadillac, no. But it was nice.
That's right. All right, well, we're in the 20th chapter of Leviticus. Thank God for each of you who are on tonight. And about 27 verses there, I believe, Lady Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting chapter as we continue to walk through Leviticus. But this one really kind of describes some of the various sins. And then it talks about the consequences mm-hmm. of those sins.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
And I think one of the key messages here in this particular chapter for us as believers today is the importance of honoring God's commands and living in obedience to his precepts.
Amen.
And that ties right in with the message from yesterday, because we have to honor God's commands. We have to trust God, even when we can't trace him. We can't get to a point when it looks like he's not going to show up. It looks like God has forgotten about us, that we turn and we try other things when God is trying to get some things done in us. Many times, it's not what we are expecting to happen outside of what God is trying to get done in us.
Amen.
And I think oftentimes we expect God to move and for something powerful to happen in somebody else's life so that we might get the breakthrough that we need. But many times God is trying to put us in a holding pattern so that he can get something done in us, so that that thing that he has prepared for us will be better to walk into it once we have gotten some things done in our own lives that God wants to get done.
Amen. That's why the word says obedience is better than sacrifice.
That's right. That's right.
We
That's
need
right.
to trust and obey.
That's good.
For there's no other way.
To be happy,
to be
in,
happy
Jesus.
In Jesus.
I feel a song coming.
But to trust and obey. go on, honey. Just keep going.
So it's important that I think part of that, and if you, however much of it you want to read, Lady Kim, verses 7 and 8, it talks about consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you.
Sanctifies.
Yeah.
Sanctification is an awesome thing. Sometimes when you say sanctified, I'm sanctified, people think that that's a denomination.
Okay.
Or people think that that's some kind of erratic behavior.
Okay.
But sanctified simply means you're set apart.
Okay.
Set apart for what? To do God's work, to do his will. So we need to be sanctified and holy as God is holy.
That's right.
And some of my notes say, you know, verses 1 through 9 of the 20th chapter of Leviticus talks about child sacrifices, mediums, and necromancers. I'm sorry, necromancers.
Okay.
And I was just curious about that. But, you know, those first 9 verses talk about if any Israelite or person living among the Israelites sacrificed their child to the idol Molech, then they were to be put to death by stoning. So, you know, when we talk about Molech, Molech was one of those, Molech was an idol, an idol god the Ammonites sacrificed their children to. And you can find that in 1 Kings, and Molech was that first that false god worshipped by the Canaanites. The worshipers of Molech involved burning children as sacrifices to him. And any Israelite who offended or offered offended God by offering their child or children as a sacrifice to Molech was to be put to death by stoning.
What?
That's in Leviticus 2, Leviticus 20 and 2, when it talked about that.
Right.
And a necromancer is someone who uses magic to conjure up the spirits of the dead. So that was a new term to me when I read that necromancer. Anybody, and we know those people who dibble and dabble in witchcraft and the occult and trying to contact the spirits of the dead and connect with
those who are living.
Yes.
Still on this side and others on the other
side. Absolutely. That's an abomination, God says, in his sight. We are not to do that. So that's what the first 9 verses talked about, you know, how the Israelites were forbidden from consulting mediums and necromancers. And God told Moses that he would set his face against anyone who participated in these things and cut them off from the people.
Well, you know, this is all tying in again to the title of the sermon on yesterday.
Absolutely.
Because we have to be mindful of how important it is for us to live a life of holiness,
mm-hmm.
and how important it is for us to obey. Why are you putting your arms all around me? You're making me nervous. Obey. Just, what am I talking about?
I don't know, but I'll help you out. You know, when we're talking about coming out from among them,
right,
we're talking
right.
about
that's
the
right.
sermon
that's
yesterday.
Right. That's right. That's
come
right.
out from among them. You know, when you know better, you do better.
All right.
You know, I remember growing up, some friends of mine had this Ouija board.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, and they were talking about how somebody can talk to you from the other side, and mm-hmm. you would put your hands on this lightly on this Ouija board and let it, you know, slide to different letters and spell out stuff.
Some spell out names.
Spell out names or spell out words and stuff. And, you know, I put my hand on it. I move it to wherever I want it to go. I was like, I like you.
Mm-hmm. But let me say this, Lady Kim. And, you know, there is an underground occult that's active and alive today. And people are practicing witchcraft and all of this sorcery and the things that are described even in this chapter. I don't know about the burning of children and all of that for sacrifice, but there is an occult that's actively in the world. That spirit is active in the world today.
Amen.
And so that's why it's so important for us to trust God and His word. And not seek after all of those things, because if you seek after that which you seek after is that which you is
drawn to you,
that's just drawn
attracted.
To you attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper you get into the occult or those things that are not of God, the harder it will be for you to be released from that, mm-hmm. because the enemy has a way of influencing those who are involved in that kind of behavior to think that they are actually participating in that which is real.
Yes.
And really it's a substitute for mm-hmm. the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of that. And, you know, as I was saying on one of our broadcasts, how important it is for us to, just like some people that were from a different background and religious influence. I think it was the Seventh-day Adventists and the, what was the other one with the people, you know, the two members that joined the church in Flint that I think it was Jehovah's Witness. That's right. And I tell you, it's almost like you first of all have to deprogram all of the things that have and there's some
been taught,
and there are some technical terms in terms of how that can be expressed even better. But you have to deprogram, and then you have to reprogram, and that's not something that just happens overnight. It's a walking with that person, persons. It's about being there to help them navigate through the transformation that God is trying to get done in their lives, and then you have to replace that with the true and living God and what the Word of God is saying. And then you can't just walk away. It's almost like a continuous mentoring of an individual. And so it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. That was over a 3, maybe 4 year period. But I tell you, once people have been released from that, and once prayers and consecration and dedication and studying of God's word reveals that which is false, then that person can see the light, as we were talking about. They can see mm-hmm. how God begins to manifest His grace and His mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more powerful than anything that the enemy can give or present. And then the undying love and the sacrifice that was paid, it becomes clear and it becomes obvious to a person who's seeking that light.
Amen.
And God is not like man that He should lie, but God will give you more as you seek more of Him.
That's right.
And so
Amen.
We have to be mindful of all of the different things. I know back down in Louisiana, there are people who are yet They have the dolls
and hoodoo and things like that. I didn't know anything about hoodoo until I went to school in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, well, don't mess with that person because they know voodoo or they deal with hoodoo. And I was like, well, what is hoodoo? It's a form of witchcraft, a form of, you know, idolizing, you know, with they have
the terminology.
Yes. But anyway, the more you, and sometimes, you know, you get caught up in things innocently.
Right.
You know, you like when I was a child and, you know, didn't know anything about the occult and Ouija board mm-hmm. and conjuring up spirits, you know, it was introduced to me, you know, at a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they had candles burning and, you know, they said it was a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I saw the game board and we played Monopoly at home and Trouble and those different things. So you can get innocently caught up in those things. But, you know, just like we stated before, once you go down that dark path, you have to be intentional about turning around to come out. You know, and so we said all that to say that whatever sin is in your life,
okay,
doesn't have to be witchcraft. It doesn't have to be tarot card reading. It doesn't have to be palm reading. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, any of those things. Whatever sin you're in, if it's adultery or
mm-hmm.
fornication you know, being a
liar,
a thief.
That's right.
You know, come out from among them.
Right.
That's what this scripture is saying. God requires holiness.
That's it.
And God is holy. And he commands and demands us to be holy, just as he is holy.
Right. And Lady Kim, our good friend, Dr. Tunstall, he's on the call tonight. And he's always with us. And we're certainly grateful for how he continues to participate. We're on the West Coast with him, but he's not in the room with us tonight. But, you know, during his ministry, we were able to, he was able to witness some exorcisms that he had to do. And not just one, but it was several.
Yes.
And he told me about that experience. And I tell you, it's almost like, what was that movie, The Exorcist?
The Exorcist.
That mm-hmm. kind of situation when somebody gets caught up and trapped in that which is not of God, and how these evil influences and the devil, how persuasive he is in terms mm-hmm. of trying to change people's lives and try to win them over. But the power and the presence of God is greater than that which the enemy has. And so we have to believe that he's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
And if God has started a good work in us, he's well able to bring it to a flourishing finish.
Thank you today, God.
And so we ought not grow weary in well-doing.
Yes.
For in due season, the Bible says, we shall reap if we faint not. And so this whole chapter in Leviticus chapter 20, for those of you who are just joining us, we're seeing how as believers we are called to consecrate ourselves to God,
mm-hmm.
striving to live in a manner that reflects his holiness.
Yes.
And holiness really is all about living a life that brings glory to his name by mm-hmm. following his commands and seeking his sanctification in our lives. And then when we do that, we demonstrate our love for him and our commitment to walking in righteousness, right
Amen.
Living.
Amen.
Did Dr. Tunstall respond?
Yes, he says, sin will take you farther than you want to go,
okay.
keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want
to pay.
Wow. Amen.
Wow, somebody needs to go ahead and write that down.
Yes, Lord.
Sin
Come
will take you farther than you want to go. And what else? Keep you
longer than
you want to
stay and cost you more than you want to pay.
And that's something.
Hallelujah.
That's powerful right there.
Yes.
And so, Dr. Thompson, thank you for that. And but we have to be mindful of our lifestyle, and we have to make sure that, you know, what we believe about God lines up with how we walk it out every day.
Amen.
And
absolutely.
So sometimes it's a change of what we have on, but God wants to consecrate our hearts.
That's right.
and that's he wants right. the change to happen. On it's an inside job.
It's an inside
Somebody
job.
Type that in yes. there. It's an inside yes. job.
Dr. Yeah. Kweli says if you don't come out, you start to blend in with the sin.
That's right. That's right.
So you have to come out because, you know, you don't want to get in that stronghold because strongholds are something else that we need to be loosed from.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, Lady Kim, what else do you have in terms of some just basic background information? You went through verse 9 as it reflects on the consecration and the holiness. And what else do you see taking place? We're in Leviticus, the 20th chapter. We haven't read any of the verses, just kind of going over some of those and highlighting a few things there. Mm-hmm. But what else do you see there?
Well, verses 10 through 21 of the 20th chapter of Leviticus talks about the laws regarding sexual immorality. And okay. I think in the last, like in 19 and 18, it talked about all those sexual kinds of sins that were an abomination to God's sight. And, you know, just to sum them up, you know, everything is an abomination in God's sight, with the exception of the relationship of a man and a woman.
Wow.
And so there are several kinds of sexual immoralities that were punishable by death, including adultery, sexual relations between close relatives, homosexuality, and bestiality. Relationships between stepbrothers and stepsisters were forbidden as disgraceful. Relationships with aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews were prohibited. God also restricted sexual relations between a woman's menstrual period. And finally, there was to be no sexual relationship between brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. Mm. So, you know, when I read that and thought about that, our world is in
a world of trouble.
We're in a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hear all that. Remember Jerry Springer? Mm-hmm. All the brother-in-law and
sleeping with
the
wife and...
It was crazy. The brother sleeping with the brother's wife.
Sleeping with
the it was
cousin
terrible.
And all
yes,
of that.
Yes, yes. But we see in our in Leviticus that was forbidden.
Right, right.
And so we just really need to search God's word and his scriptures pertaining to his laws. But are we glad that Jesus came to forgive us of our sinfulness?
Yes, yes.
That Jesus paid it all on the cross with his blood.
That's right.
And all we have to do is go to God and ask to be forgiven of our sins. And then verses 22 through 27 of Leviticus talks about holiness versus uncleanliness. And I really like the way, you know,
holiness versus uncleanliness.
Yes.
Okay.
I really like the way all of this chapter ties in with yesterday's message.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
The Israelites were to shun pagan practices and immoralities of the nation.
Come out from among them.
Yes, who lived in Canaan prior to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't to get mixed up
That's
in
right.
those pagan practices and the pagan worship. God gave them restrictions to separate them from those other nations. Again, we talk about a separation, a coming out from among them.
That's right, that's
yes.
right.
And that if the Israelites would keep God's commands and strive for holiness, Canaan would not vomit them like it was going to do to its current inhabitants.
Wow.
So God said that they were abomination to them, that he would spew them out. And he told the Israelites that if they were to keep his commands, that they would not be spewed out, or they would not be put out like the Canaanites. You shall be holy to me. This is in verse 26. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. That's that 26th verse, and there were only 27 verses in here.
Right,
so
right.
that's the hinge in which we are to hang our door so it can swing open and swing closed.
That's good.
Amen. That we should be holy as the Lord is holy.
Right.
Separate ourselves.
Separate it. Come out.
Come out from among them. That, see how well that tied in with yesterday's message by Dr. Qualis. God knows just how to work things.
That's right.
He knows how to time
this things. Was a platform just to launch from and tie in with what was talked about. Mm-hmm. So it appears God wants to make sure that the Jews understand this matter of separation and coming out from among them. And so it's important that we as believers today understand the significance and importance of living a life that brings glory and honor to him. And just as he reminded the Jews, he's reminding us as well that we ought to be consecrated, dedicated, committed, and separated for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And live a life that reflects that. And God will bless and he will honor that just as he did for the children of Israel.
Amen.
They had to be holy because the Lord to whom they belong was holy.
Amen.
And so I know many times when people hear that language, as you just indicated earlier, they think of it as being something that is unattainable or something that describes like a denomination or some kind of religious thing. But it's an activity and it's a process that has to take place by us being engulfed in the things of God and being not conformed to this world, but as the scripture says, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so it's a process that comes with that where we have to really seek this word. We have to study this word. We have to live our lives in such a way that it brings glory and honor to God. And we have to trust the timing of God and that which we are trying to be released from. And know that God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said in his word that he'd be with us always, even until the end. And we can rest assured that his promises are sure and that his satisfaction is guaranteed. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's right.
Okay.
And so what application can we get from this that we've talked about tonight? One thing is that God's laws in the Old Testament were intended to separate the Israelites from the surrounding nations. And I think we talked about that a little bit. But this intention is repeated in the commands of Jesus and his apostles in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17.
Okay.
Christians are to be separated from the world.
That's right.
The world should see something in us.
Right, right.
That they can gravitate towards.
That light.
Yeah, they need to gravitate towards the light. And
that's
that
right.
Light is the Christ that shines within us, or the God that shines within us. And so God wants a distinct people, a people that stand out against the backdrop of a sinful culture.
That's right.
So if God were to, if Jesus were to come back today, what would he say about our character? What would he say about you as a person? Are you trying to shine your light? Are you trying to shine your light? Or do you walk? Or do you blend in with the crowd?
Wow.
Do people know that you're a Christian? Who else knows that you're a Christian other than you?
Uh-oh.
We should embrace and come to terms with the fact that we will not look like the people who are around us. We should not look like the people who are around. We should not act like the people who are around us. And I mean by the people who are around us, I mean the ungodly, unholy. Yes, the unbelievers. You know, we shouldn't be laughing at the dirty jokes on the job. We shouldn't be
participants in that whole process.
Right. So, you know, we need to watch our behavior, check our behavior.
You know, Lady Kim, and that's so powerful because our behavior ought to match our belief.
Mm-hmm.
And what you believe about God should be evident in your walk. And one of the most powerful, testimonies of someone on your job or someone that you know outside of the church Mm-hmm. It's that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a believer and mm-hmm. that you believe in the power and the presence of God, and your life is a reflection of that.
Amen.
And the, what probably one of the saddest commentaries is for someone to say on your job, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. because it's evident that your light is not shining, or you're putting it on the bushel,
mm-hmm.
and they are not seeing the very presence of God being manifest, even in your conversation, even in your walk, even in your disposition, mm-hmm. even in the way that you carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It should be evident that you are growing. You are not the person you used to be, but you are constantly pressing toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God, and that your light is shining bright, and people will be attracted to that. And so when it comes time for someone to need prayer, or when it comes time for someone to perhaps need breakthrough or a word of encouragement, then, you know, they will be attracted to you, and they will know that we are Christians by our love.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Any
we
other
have
comments?
Several comments.
Okay.
Evangelist Sheree says, everywhere you go, people should know you're a Christian.
That's right. That's right.
And Dr. Q says, we are in this world, but we are to not be of this world.
That's right.
That's the
right.
word right there. You preaching right there. And then Dr. Tunstall said, Rick Warren wrote that, our number one purpose in life is to make God smile.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yes. There's a thin line between the word and the world.
I know, right?
Yes, that's right.
Walk lightly. Walk lightly.
Thin line between the word and the world.
That's good.
So we need to be careful.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a great study tonight, and do you have any just closing thoughts so we can just kind of hang our hat on, Lady Kim? As just a point of reference in terms of a takeaway from this chapter 20 of Leviticus. And we praise God for each of you who are on tonight. And we thank God for your participation in the comments and being a part of this. We're getting ready to wrap it up. And so if there are those who have prayer requests, we want you to go ahead and put that in the comment box at this time, because we definitely believe in the power of prayer. And we know that we serve a prayer answering God. And here it is. It's what you believe in God for, perhaps it's just a prayer away.
Mm.
So you've got to trust him and believe him, even when it looks like it's contrary to, in the natural, what God is trying to get done in the spirit realm.
Amen. And we invite you to join us for prayer each Wednesday night mm-hmm. at 8:30. P.M. Central Time.
That's right.
8:30 P.M. Central Time. We have prayer for just 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
30 minutes. And if you would like prayer, just call in to the prayer call number. Hopefully we'll get that number posted.
I can give it to you right now. And then if Theron is on, if she can go ahead and put it on there.
Yes.
Because it's important that even when you submit your request, that you participate in the release of the faith that's necessary in order for it to happen.
Amen.
And part of that is when you are participating, if not every Wednesday, just being a part of the prayer call that happens, because we're taking these requests and we're putting them in the mix for the prayer requests that we receive. Mm-hmm. And so the number for the prayer call that happens on Wednesday is 605-475-3220. And you'll have an access code that you would have to put in, 412-771-pound. But someone put that in there, 605-475-3220. And the access code is 412-771-pound. And so we definitely want you to participate. If you have a prayer request, participate in the act of faith that we are believing God for on your behalf.
Amen.
And I believe that when you participate in that, what you are asking God to do on your behalf, that something powerful will happen in the midst of you believing and trusting God for the release that you need in order for the prayers to be answered. Amen. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And so you asked me before you went into that about kind of summing up or wrapping up what we are going to do. One of the lessons here is that, you know, works don't save us.
Okay.
But works are necessary.
Wow.
And I'm going to put it like this too. Works don't save us, but you have to work in order to come out from among them. Mm.
There's some work that's necessary.
There's some work that's necessary.
In order for you to come out.
Absolutely.
You can't just lay back in the cut and expect everything to happen and you don't do anything in order to participate in what God is trying to get done.
That's right.
Okay.
When you first come out from among them, give your life to Christ, you have to continue to work at it. You know, the word says we are born in sin and shaping in iniquity. That means when we came into this world, we were born sinful.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to teach a child how to lie.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lie automatically. You have to teach them how not to lie.
Okay.
Okay. You have to teach children how not to sin. You have to teach children how to come out from among them.
Wow.
We have to come out from among them. So we have to relearn. We have to relearn how God wants us to behave because we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. So we have a work to do. That the redeeming sacrifice of Jesus makes us a covenant people. A covenant people means that we are people of promise. And if we're people of promise, then we're people of praise.
Wow.
Hallelujah, Lord.
You said something, Reverend.
Glory, God.
People
I might need
promise
to preach.
And a people of praise. Somebody type that in. A people of promise and a people of praise. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
My.
Yeah, and obedience. Somebody say obedience.
Obedience.
Provides a pretty good indicator of whether or not we are in a covenant relationship with God.
Wow.
If we are obedient to his word, if we're obedient to his will and his work and his way, then we know for beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are in a covenant relationship with God, a promise-keeping relationship with God. And you know what I like about being in a covenant relationship with God is that God's promises come full circle in your life. Mm. When we were sitting talking with Bishop Benjamin and Lady Beverly Benjamin, and we're talking about how we met and how we came to his conference. We were new in the ministry. We were bottle sucking Christians.
That's right.
You know,
we were milk
Christians.
We hadn't gotten on real meat.
We hadn't even gotten on real meat yet. And the way he and his wife reached out to us and his church reached out to us in ministry and help
didn't even know us.
He didn't know us from Adam.
Embraced us like we were one of his own.
And look at us now. You're one of his sons in
That's
the
right.
ministry.
That's right.
Grafted in
to
his family and God has done an amazing thing in our lives because he allowed us to see God in him up close and walk with him up close. And God is an awesome and an amazing God. And Dr. John Tunstall took
right.
us under his wing.
That's
we
right.
Went to his Bible
Little
studies
know.
And you know, learn from
over
him.
30 years later.
40 years later.
Yeah, that's over 30. That's over 30.
Yeah,
right?
Over 30.
All
but
right,
40
right.
even. It's over 40.
That's right. That's
you didn't
right.
want to change
yeah, yeah, I'm just trying to help him.
Yeah, we there, bud.
We there.
Are we there yet?
It's connection by association.
Yes.
And by the power and the presence of God.
Yes.
When we are in unity and with one another.
Amen.
You don't know what God will do and where he will lead you to.
Hallelujah,
and so
Jesus.
You have to trust him, and you have to be in concert with the Spirit of God moving. And God will put you in places that you never thought you'd be in.
That's right.
And he'll place you among people that will be a tremendous source of pouring into you and helping encourage you just when you really need it.
Amen.
And so everybody ought to have somebody that they could talk to when they need somebody to talk to.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Did I say that right?
You said it right.
All right.
So we need to be in covenant relationship with God, because when you're in a covenant relationship, that means that there's a contraction.
Dr. Thompson said 40 years.
Covenant, yes. Covenant relationship. There are some promises that come with that. And God's promises, like you always say, are sure. And His satisfaction is guaranteed. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. He'll be with you always.
Always.
Even until the end.
We
so
serve
make
an
sure,
awesome God.
Make sure you're obedient. Because that's that right. obedience shows.
Brings the reward.
That
too.
Covenant relationship with
that's
God.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
All right. We're wrapping it up tonight. And we praise God. Do you have any requests there, Lady Kim?
I have one request from Sister... it went away on the feed and I did not write it down. Oh, here it is. Sister Emma Ferguson.
Okay.
She asked for prayer for Marco Jones and Terrence Johnson.
Okay.
Marco Jones and Terrence Johnson.
Okay.
And we
is
also...
Is that the birthday girl I see on the call tonight?
Who's the birthday girl?
I think it's a name with Richmond on it, right? Long
oh,
in there.
Tiffany Richmond?
Is that her?
Ah, happy birthday,
happy
Tiffany.
Birthday. I know, right?
Wonderful. Your own Bible study on your birthday. Yeah. God bless you, Tiffany Richmond. That's our
oldest.
Our number one girl, number one daughter.
All right. So what does that
two?
Make the
other one? She's the number two. She was born number two.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to see. That's not a sign of... favoritism.
No, that's a sign of birth order.
Okay, I'm just trying to get it clear, so I don't want nobody to feel no kind of way, because we love them both the same.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
And,
Amen.
I tell you. All right, so are we ready to close out?
Yes, I'm getting ready to find the prayer request, and we want to make sure we lift up Brother Sister Joyce Perkins and mm-hmm. Brother Jerry Perkins and the loss of Sister Perkins' sister-in-law, Dolores Sims. That funeral will be this coming weekend at the Ross Road Church of Christ. So we want to lift her up. Also, we want to lift up Sister Tamika Peck and Brother
that's
Charles
right,
Peck
that's right.
in the loss of Sister Tamika's brother and her father.
Right.
So
right.
she had two deaths in her family within the same week. Those arrangements are incomplete at this time, so we will let you know when they are complete. We want to lift up prayers for Dr. Cynthia Calhoun and the loss of her cousin Dorothy Hunt, and that funeral was held on this past Friday. And we want to lift up prayers for Brother Michael Massey, who states he's having health challenges. And so we're lifting up Brother Michael Massey in our prayers as well.
Okay. Well, before you close out, Lady Kim, once again, we want to make sure that those who are in the process, that they put the number in there.
Yes, I saw the number on the feed.
Okay, mm-hmm. who are requesting prayer, that they also participate in, by faith, in the releasing of what we're expecting God to do in their situation. And you see it there on the feed with Dr. Qualley Seymour, 605-475-3220. And the access code is 412-771. It's a one there, I believe, 771-pound. So that will help us in terms of connecting with you to believe God for what you believe in God to do in
Amen.
Your situation.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's correct.
And, all right. Well, you ready to close us out then, Lady Kim? Anything else that we need to know,
no.
be aware of? What else is happening this weekend that's of significance and importance to anybody in the room? I don't know
Ooh.
Who that might be, but
well,
I'm just saying.
Since you asked, I shall tell you since
all
you
right.
asked. On Saturday.
This Saturday?
This Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m.
What?
Someone will officially become Dr. Kim Murray. Dr. Kim Elise Jones Murray.
Wow. Is that how
yes.
you're going to have it on your
I'm going to have it on there.
On
and I, you know what? When they asked me how I wanted it listed on mm-hmm. my diploma, I wanted to honor my parents. I wanted to honor your parents and mm-hmm. honor you. So I have Kim Elise Jones, which is my maiden name, Murray.
Okay.
So that's going to be it. Yes, there will be a link for the graduation. The link for the graduation.
It'll be posted on our Facebook page, I believe, on Constant Contact.
Yes, but it's Memphis Seminary. Okay. / graduation.
Okay.
And
for those who,
you know, we have a limited number of people that can come, but it will be live streamed. So Memphis Seminary / graduation is how you can access it.
At 11 o'clock or 10?
At 10 o'clock Central Time. This Saturday, May 11th.
Okay.
And then Sunday is Mother's Day.
That's right.
Mother's Day. We will be honoring our mothers, all mothers on Mother's Day. So happy early Mother's Day to all the mothers. And we'll see you at 8:30 for Sunday school, 9:45 for worship service on Sunday.
Okay.
Sounds good. Are we ready? Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for your word is like a two-edged sword, cutting away the things that it needs to cut away. But God, it's also a surgeon's needle that mends us up where we're open. And then it's like a balm in Gilead. It heals the sin sick soul, and it heals our wounds and our scars. So we thank you today that you're all that and more. We ask God, as we close this Bible study tonight, that you would be with the bereaved tonight, for we have many bereaved families. Oh God, that you would be with those who are sick and who are seeking healing. And God, be with all those who are struggling, oh God, those who need guidance, those who need to come out from among those who are trying to pull them back into the darkness from your light. We ask, God, that you would strengthen us as we go forth. And we ask, God, that you would continue to lead us and guide us all by your Spirit. We're so thankful and we're blessed to call you our Savior and our God. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Praise God.
See you online Saturday and see you Sunday morning.
All right.